This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know. Hear from the experts, authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, our tech guy is in trouble with the law. But the law may need to answer to a higher authority. Plus, it's a throwback to World War II in the Palos Verdes Peninsula. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom.
Well, the West is hitting a new low, and Phil, it's not a good thing.
And bagging stories left and right, it's Jay Capadonia.
Phil, a college cheerleader under fire for posting pictures on Facebook of her fresh kill. Well, now the hunter has become the hunted.
And looking for every way to keep his employer happy, it's Chris Martin.
Washington State just opened its first legal marijuana dispensary. Wait until you hear about what happened to the first guy through the door.
Uh-oh. Not good?
Well, you're going to have to wait in here.
I see how you are. Let's get things started so that we can get to that story in a hurry. But all the others matter as well. Jennifer, let's start with you. We're leaky here in California.
We are, and it's a terrible thing because we don't have a lot of water to spare. Lake Mead this week is going to be at levels not seen since the Hoover Dam was built, and the reservoir on the Colorado River was filled in the 1930s. Yep, this is a serious drought, you guys.
How low is it, really? Do you know?
It is so low. It has dropped
I threw you a softball there. Perfect for an old Johnny Carson-style punchline.
It's so low. Well, I don't have a lot of... I mean, it's not very funny. This whole situation is pretty bad. There's a bathtub ring around the lake. Ooh. That's about 130 feet of white mineral. So it's like... You know?
Wow.
It's about 39% right now. It was last full... in 1998. They're saying, though, that they can still deliver the water they've promised at least through the end of next year. And the good news about being in California is we're not the first state that's getting cut off.
Which one is?
I think Arizona and Nevada don't have the same contracts.
We have a heck of a lot more front yards probably in swimming pools.
I know. Well, we have the agriculture too, and that's what takes up 75% of the water. Yeah. So this week it's a big milestone.
Well, you've seen a lot on the news too with the fine. I know I've heard a lot of people talking about that, a $500 fine if you are abusing your water.
Right. If you have a leaky, if you're watering the sidewalks instead of your lawns, that's going to Sacramento next week. They're going to talk about a statewide fine system like that, which they've never had before in California. And I got to tell you, when they had the fines in LA, it was hard. They had the water cops actually followed them around for a day.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard to bust people.
Well, see, here's the thing, too, because
your neighbors have to snitch on you.
See, my sprinklers on the, what do you call that, the meridian? That's the part between the sidewalk and the curb where there's grass.
Oh, yeah,
sure,
yeah.
I have to keep the grass nice and green there. But there's a tree, which the city insists does not belong to me. But those roots are above the grass, and they're picking up the sidewalk. And when you have the sprinklers, you know, underground on the timer, and they run just a certain number of minutes a day, or every other day, depending where you are. You know, you can't get them to just sprinkle a little bit. They're going to hit the sidewalk. They're going to hit that giant root.
Right, because they hit the tree and the root, and funnels it down. I know.
Yeah, and it goes into the gutter, and so there. I'm wasting water.
I say, you know what? I say, just raise the prices. Raise the rates. That it works for everything else. Why not water? Don't fine people. Just raise the prices.
Oh, you would have a lynch mob.
Yeah.
Oh, well. You know, supply and demand. That's what made our country great.
You know, it's all cyclical. It's all going to come back around anyway. So have at it, people. Throw a pool party.
Hey.
It'll pour rain in a few years. But until then, we're going to have to kind of reel it in a little, I think.
Well, we still are on the forefront of medical technology. And here is just, I mean, medicine can be a little weird, too.
You know, you can't fault a guy for trying. And we love to talk about the miracles of stem cell research, but stuff does not always go the way it's supposed to. In Portugal, there's a woman who has a nose growing on her back.
No.
That would be great if she needed a new nose, but they were aiming at a cure for her paralysis along her spine. So check this out. The woman actually came from the United States for the experimental treatment in Portugal, where the tissue from her nose was implanted into her spine. Doctors said they thought maybe the cells will develop into neural cells and help repair the nerve damage in the woman's spine. But nope, those nose cells, they're like, nope, we're a nose. So 8 years later, she's like, what is this knob in my back? Yep, it's a growth, nasal tissue, bits of bone, nerve branches that didn't connect with the spinal nerves, but it's nose tissue.
Well, that's what you get for going to Portugal to get something like that done.
Well, did you hear about the girl in Michigan that got mauled by a raccoon? And then they had...
Yeah, when she was a little girl. And this is actually happening today, Phil. Did you know that? She's getting her new ear attached today.
Wouldn't you what?
Now a new ear.
They didn't grow the ear in Portugal, right?
No, they grew it in Detroit, because all great things come out of Detroit, right?
That's right.
You know, I mean, hey, let's put what we know works to work. So you put the nose cells on one part of the body, they're going to grow a nose no matter where. So they've had this girl cultivating a new ear in her arm with cartilage actually from her ribs and a template computer generated from her other ear. They've been rebuilding her face, including a new nose, upper lip, and cheek for the last few years or so.
That's
she was just a baby when she was mauled by a raccoon. She's 12 now.
That's remarkable. Yeah. I mean, there is hope. I mean, if you live long enough, you're going to see everything. They're going to cure cancer. And there'll be a cure even for the common cold. That'll be the last thing they cure.
Those raccoons are nasty.
Yeah.
They
are
vicious
nasty
creatures.
Yeah.
Stay away from the raccoons. And apparently, you need to stay away from the phantom pig.
Oh, here's another one. Yeah, okay, so you think you shouldn't be scared of just these farm animals. Well, here's the stuff of nightmares. The cops in Maine are looking for a pig.
In Maine? They don't have...
In Maine.
That's not a pig state.
No, but these two kids are walking through the woods, and this sinister pig crosses their path, comes upon them. The kids are walking along a trail in sort of a woodsy area between their middle school and the high school. On Tuesday afternoon, the pig confronts them and starts screaming at the kids, you know, and chasing them like, aah! They were so scared, they flagged down a police officer. So the cops called animal control. They respond. And although they did find big, giant pig tracks, like the pig was real. These kids aren't just tripping. They never found the pig. They don't know why, where it came from, or why it was acting aggressively.
Sounds like a Stephen King novel waiting to happen. Isn't he just taking a stroll usually just in any town in Maine, and he picks up his stories, writes a novel, and then the next thing it's a movie? That's a good idea there. Okay, very good, Jennifer. Now, we've been following the life and times of young Kendall Jones. And, Jay, remind us who Kendall is.
Well, I'll tell you who they put to go get that pig is this woman, Kendall Jones, 19-year-old Texas Tech cheerleader who's under fire for posting pictures of her kills. She's an avid hunter. She goes all around the world, and she hunts all these wild, exotic animals.
And she's cute. And there's a picture of her on our show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com in case you want to just double-check my
she's got
my
one of those
there.
Cheerleader smiles, boy. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, she's a punk.
Well, then you might side with a Democrat from Virginia. Mike Dickinson is his name, and he has gone on Twitter. He is now going after Miss Jones. Poor defenseless Miss Jones.
She's not defenseless.
She's armed to the teeth, Jay.
Poor defenseless Miss Jones.
All right, what happened?
He is now asking, I don't even know if I can say this, $100,000 he's willing to pay to anyone who can come up with nude photos or a sex tape featuring Kendall Jones.
Hang on, let me check my phone.
That was actually not bad.
Yeah, that seems like a losing political battle, doesn't it?
It really is. He happens to be running for Congress in his district out there. But this is, quote, $100,000 to anyone with nude photos or sex videos of scumbag Kendall Jones. She hunts animals for fun. Let's hunt her for fun. Another tweet. If any ex-boyfriends of Kendall Jones are out there and want... we will pay for sex stories about her info.
Wow. You know what? This guy is going to lose.
Oh, you think?
Oh, yeah. How hard is that?
You think?
I mean, look, I don't like this girl, but come on.
I know.
You can't turn into super
perv. Of investigation.
You're
going to
vote for me or vote for the pervert?
Right. That's exactly it. I've actually tweeted him twice. He's been responding to other people out there, and he's getting vicious. Like, I don't understand how this guy is in politics, but I mean, he's having a great time. He's out there. Well, he's got one supporter. I think I'm going to vote for Mike Dickinson, and he's retweeting those. But he says basically, he doesn't like the fact that she's out there killing animals and then glorifying it, okay? And he is a Democrat, so, okay, we get
that. Well, that's fine. You don't have to like that.
But, right, exactly. But for him to jump in and throw $100,000 on the table, it's incredible.
For what he's asking for, I mean, he may have broken a law.
It's insulting, and there's no correlation. I mean, hey, let's embarrass her. It's stupid.
Or put her life in danger, for that matter.
Right.
He says the hunter becomes the hunted.
Exactly. Oddly enough, you mentioned that, Phil. There is actually a Facebook page, Kill Kendall Jones, out there. And it's a group out there. And they're posting reverse pictures of how animals have killed a human being.
He's in a place of authority. And he may have, either directly or indirectly, given Kendall Jones a death threat.
He's just offered a $100,000 reward to strip her down and take a picture of her.
Yeah.
Right? You know, if you want to take it to that extreme.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, we're not advocating that.
No, absolutely not.
I don't think he's going to get it.
No.
But when the polls open, he'll get it. All right.
No pun intended?
No pun intended. All right, we want to find out what happened to that guy who was first in line at the first legal weed store in Washington State after he purchased his weed. First in line. Chris has this story for you. Wait till you hear it. Next. On As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2 right here on KFWB News Talk 980. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund is here. Jay Capadonia, Chris Martin. We have so much to talk about today. And just a reminder, a little later in the program, we're going to put the Supreme Court ruling on the Fourth Amendment as it applies to your digital device to test. Our tech guy is in trouble with the law, and it has to do with his digital device. And you'll hear all about that. And it does apply to you, because at some point you'll want to know, based on what he's going through, how it all turns out. Now, things may or may not have turned out well for a guy who was first in line at the first recreational marijuana store in the state of Washington. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yeah. In Spokane, Washington, Mike Boyer, he took Tuesday off and waited in line for 20 hours outside of the Greenleaf dispensary, which there's a good name for a legal marijuana dispensary.
Greenleaf.
So now, of course, because it's the first one in the state of Washington, there's TV coverage there. There's local news guys there. And he's there with it. He's got his tie-dye shirt, and there's elves and mushrooms all over it. So he's kicking it back to the 70s.
Typical.
Yeah. And even on camera, he's like, we don't line up for Black Friday. We line up for Green Tuesday.
Oh.
People camp out for donuts and Star Wars. This is way more important.
What a winner.
Yeah. Well, his bosses saw the coverage. And they saw him on television, and he's the first one to buy 4 grams of sour kush and walk out the door. And they asked him to take a drug test within 24 hours, and then he's a security guard.
What did he buy?
4 grams of sour kush.
You're reading that. You're not coming like off the top of your head using some lingo that only somebody who would be familiar with this sort of thing would be able to.
This is a
spout particular.
Are you about to give Chris a drug test?
Yeah, I know, right? Maybe
is that what's happening here?
You know what? I've got this cup over here, Chris. Come here.
Entrapment.
Yeah. Everybody knows I would choose Maui Wowie.
What?
That's a joke, Phil. You've got to at least laugh at it. Well, anyway, look, this guy gets tested within 24 hours. Of course, there's THC in his system. He tested positive, so now he's fired. He was a security guard. He says no regrets, though. He was pleased to be the first person.
What a legal conundrum.
Yeah. I mean, I like this guy.
You're in a state where recreational marijuana is legal, and the THC stays in your system perhaps longer than a can or two of beer stays in your system.
Longer than the buzz, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so companies have the right to drug test you.
Well, and specifically in his case, he's not arguing about any of this because he signed a thing that said he wouldn't have THC in his system. So he's, right. You know, he knew he was violating. But I think the quote was, I saw this on MSNBC, he's like, you know what? I can get another job, but I can never be the first guy again if I'd miss today.
That's right. Yeah,
you know?
And his resume's on Craigslist, too, so he's hoping somebody will pick up on this and hire him.
Well, that's nice.
There you go. All right, there's always a possibility for somebody if they just think about it, get a little creative. And, Jay, you have...
Would you say his job went up in smoke?
Oh.
Hey, that's a Philism right there.
No, right.
Sorry.
He wouldn't have said that. You're right, I wouldn't. But the... the creativity thing. We want to follow that straight line to you, Jay.
All right. So this 14-year-old girl, and Carly is her name, right? She was walking down by the beach one day, and it looks like she stumbled upon somebody with a spray can who got a little creative and wrote a very disparaging comment about her derriere. She's a little thick in the hips, I will say that. But
okay.
Anyways. So... she walks by, and instead of being crushed by the, oh my gosh, that's my name on this wall, and they've made that comment about my behind, you got to hand it to this girl. She took a picture right next to it in a bathing suit showing her derriere.
Not like, completely.
No, in the bathing suit.
Okay,
she's
fine.
In a bathing suit. She's a 14-year-old girl.
I think it looks good. I think her butt looks great.
Once again, I cannot comment, 14-year-old girl. But
Jen can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jen, you can go for it. But you got to hand it to her because what she did was she was like, yeah, what of it? This is my butt, and I'm going to post it all over Facebook. It has now gone viral, and her parents are behind her 100%. This is kind of like
behind
the cool
her.
Thing. Ha-ha, somebody got it? Thank you, Jen.
Two,
the only one
three,
paying attention.
Four.
Yeah, so anyways, you really got to hand it to this girl, the confidence in her 14-year-old girl. It's like, look, y'all can do whatever you want. Haters going to hate. This is who I am. I am comfortable with my body image. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
Look at what the world has to
see. Now, don't Google this at work. We do not want you to Google the words 14-year-old girl butt.
Oh, right.
Right? We will do that for you, and we will post the photo on the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com.
Where is it? Can I see it? I want to see it.
No, we haven't done it yet.
We have to wait till like April Fool's to like start telling
but
people
see,
to do
I,
that kind
I
of stuff.
Immediately I was going to find the picture, and I was typing it in Google, I thought, this is not a good thing to be typing in Google.
Exactly.
Right.
It's not
for
a good
you.
Thing to search for. It'll pop up if you just put in Carly's and then...
Carly Graffiti. Like that comes
yeah.
up. Carly Graffiti.
And you don't understand it at first because it's all it says is Carly's, you know, rear end on there. But what it means is they're saying that that giant boulder is her butt.
Correct.
Is that Carly with a Y or an IE?
IE.
Okay.
I think
she's
it's an
cool
IE,
like
yeah.
that. Yeah. She's like, no, yeah. I'm Carly.
Carly Graffiti. All right.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Hey, you want to feel old?
Not particularly, yeah. but.
Well, I'm here for you. Since I am the oldest person in the room, I will. I'm going to make everybody feel old now. 1998 is just as far away as 2030. Okay, that's an easy one.
Jeez.
If Bart Simpson was a real person, he'd be 31 now.
Oh. And probably hooked on drugs and in and out of jail.
Now, this one's going to hurt, but not as bad as the ones that are coming after it. Kids starting high school next month were born in 2001.
No!
Oh, man.
How you feel now, sonny?
What a kick in the mouth.
Jerry Seinfeld was 35 when Seinfeld started. He is now 60.
Whoa.
Does that hurt?
Wow.
The Taco Bell Chihuahua has been dead for 5 years.
No.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Oh, that's no bueno.
Yeah. In Back to the Future, Marty travels back in time from 1985 to 1955. If someone traveled 30 years back in time today, it would be 1984.
Oh, my God.
It's the year I was born. Great year.
Shut up.
Excellent wine that year.
Yeah.
Vintage.
What do you think? Does that make you feel old?
I don't like you anymore, yep. Phil.
What I need now, just as a palate cleanser, I don't know, is a story about a rabid deer.
Oh. Well, going along with
just
the
to pull something
of,
out of your hat? That's what we're doing? Yeah. Okay,
going
all right.
With the theme of animals that shouldn't be scary and dangerous, but actually
Where's
are.
Where's Kendall Jones when you need her?
Right? Well, this seriously, where is she? So you see a deer standing around in Pennsylvania outside a liquor store. So what do you think? I'll snap its picture.
Bambi.
Well, yeah, this lady starts to take a picture and the deer charges her and starts pushing her. She's thinking, oh, my God, this deer is going to kill me. A couple of guys wrestle the doe, call animal control. Yep, deer has rabies.
Foaming at the mouth.
By a deer.
That's what I needed. That was the exact palate cleanser I needed, Jennifer. Thank you so much. Hey, when the Supreme Court ruled the police have to get a search warrant from a judge before they can look at your cell phone or your laptop or your tablet, you know, your digital devices, did the judges include your drone in that opinion? Up next, our tech guy explains his brush with the law right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer, Jay, and Chris are all here. They're the friends. You know, drones are becoming more and more popular. The kind you have for hobbies, right? You can order them online, you can buy them at a toy store, you can get one for very little money, or you could spend a ton of dough, and you can get one that can fly pretty far away from your joystick and take some HD quality video. What if you happen to take some pretty pictures of the wrong thing? Can the authorities just up and take your memory card from you? Joining us live is our tech guy, Jeremy Anticone. Jeremy, you have a drone. Would you describe it for us?
I will. So it is a quadcopter. So it has four propellers on it. It's kind of a square-looking device, and you've got a remote control. It's got a video camera on the bottom. And using it, you can, you know, fly around, and it transmits the video back to where you're sitting, so you're able to see what it is that you're filming.
All right. So what happened with your fancy drone this week?
Well, I just got it. So it showed up on, I think, Tuesday, and I went outside and played around with it in my yard for a little bit just to kind of get familiar with it. And one of the things about these new drones is that they have GPS built into them. So it means that you're able to fly it and have it actually be very stable and easy to use, which is kind of a contrast to some of the original RC helicopters and RC airplanes, which were very, very difficult to fly. So one of the problems, I think, is that it kind of inspires overconfidence when you start playing with these things because it's just so easy to use out of the box. Well, there was a construction site that's near my house that burned down over the holiday weekend, and I thought, oh, well, I'm going to just put it up in the air and see what this looks like from the sky. And so I did. I flew it up. The wind was pretty windy and actually started blowing it closer and closer to the construction site. And I ended up losing control of it. Luckily, it has a nice feature which, if it loses control, it actually comes back to where it took off from. So it's not going to crash or just fly away.
So this is not one of those cheap drones.
It is not one of the super cheap drones, but you know, these things can run into the tens of thousands of dollars. So you know, in the grand scheme of things, it was relatively inexpensive. But in addition to the drone coming back to me, a police officer was following it from the construction site that had just burned down. Apparently, it was an active crime scene investigation, and they were concerned that this thing was flying overhead, and so they sent an officer to track it as it flew back to me. So
he came to your front door, knocked on the door?
Well, I didn't actually fly it from my house. So I was near, you know, it was the construction site's connected to a golf course. So I flew it from you know, kind of an open field area, and then he followed it back and asked me what exactly I thought I was doing. And I explained to him that I was just, you know, I was interested and just wanted to see what it looked like from the air. And he was rather perturbed about it. So he asked me to come join him. And so I was escorted over to the site where they were doing their work, and had to sit down and wait for them to, you know, call their superiors and talk about, you know, whether or not this was, you know, illegal. They started, of course, trying to say that, you know, I had, you know, committed some sort of crime. And
did they put you in the car? Did they put you in the squad
car? No, no. They, you know, there was a, you know, one of those pop up tents that they had that was
the command
outside
post.
Of the area.
The command easy post. Up.
Yeah. So I was detained at the easy up.
Did they rough you up a little bit? Good cop,
know,
bad
well,
cop.
You know, emotionally, I was a roughed up. It was, you know, it was nerve wracking. I didn't you know, intend to.
Because
do
you are
wrong.
Typically a law abiding tech guy.
I, you know, right. I consider myself a law-abiding guy. I don't try to do anything wrong, and I was just, you know, genuinely interested about what happened. So they, you know, started making phone calls and figuring out whether or not this was, you know, something that they could do something, you know, maybe charge me with something. And they came back with, you know, there's nothing really that they can do. You can't, you know, prevent somebody from, you know, taking photographs of a crime scene from a public, you know, public property.
Okay, good. So you didn't break any laws.
Well, I don't believe that I did.
I don't think you did either, because it's about in.
Yeah, it's public airspace at that point.
But
right?
That being said, it's from a spot where the public would not normally be able to see. And in the news business, I mean, the whole issue of cameras on top of the mass of trucks and the helicopters and the telephoto lenses from the street, you know, we have to worry about that in the news business.
Ah, but Jennifer, so that's a commercial use, and in this case, drones are not allowed for commercial use. And
yeah,
but you're not using it for commercial purposes, right?
No, of course not. It was just, you know, purely personal interest and
hobby.
You know, they did bring up that point. They said, you know, we can't stop a news van if they were to park on a, you know, the public street and put up their mast and, you know, start filming down. We can't prevent that. And so, you know, you didn't do anything, you know, in the sense of disturbing the crime scene. It was,
right.
You know, above of it.
So you got to just go home then with your drone, right?
I did get to go home. And
yeah.
And then yesterday, some fire investigators showed up at my house, and I was quite nervous. My wife was out in the driveway when they showed up, and they started asking her all kinds of questions. And
I hadn't
exactly shared with her that I had this experience, so she was, you know, a little concerned, if you will, as to what was happening.
This is just due diligence. Most arsonists will want to see what they've done. That is typical arson behavior. So they just had to rule you out, man.
They started asking, well, first off, they started talking to my wife and said, what was your role? What was your involvement in this incident? And she's like, what are you talking about? And had no idea what they're even referring to.
That's great.
And then so they explained to her that I'd, you know, flown the drone and that they were not happy about it.
And how mad is she right about now?
She actually handled it pretty well. I was expecting much worse. I was, you know, expecting to.
Well, they got to you eventually. Yeah. Just rolling the story forward a little bit, Jeremy.
Yeah.
They got to you, and then what did they say?
They did. They asked to see it. They asked to see the drone, and I showed it to them. And you know, they asked me some questions about it and so forth. They asked if they could look at the memory card. And then the cop or the fire investigator took the card, put it in his pocket, and said, okay, well, we're confiscating this.
So, that's illegal. They can't do that.
Wait,
they
wait
can't do that. No way.
They can't do that.
So, you know, I didn't want to, you know, cause a scene, and, you know, the memory card itself wasn't valuable to me. I mean, it's like a $10 card, and I didn't particularly want to, you know, give them any reasons to, you know, to take this any further. So it wasn't a huge deal to me, but yeah, you're right.
Assuming you didn't have any valuable video, anything personal on there that you thought, you know, who knows, you might have had something on there. You just took a great shot of the sunset at the beach, or you picked a spot and you caught a video of a bird or something at a perfect moment. It was a great video
right.
That you picked. You were proud of it. You just got your brand new drone. Come on.
Yeah. So, you know, I they ended up taking it, and they gave me a property report form that they were in possession of this. And
so you got to get it back.
Supposedly, I will get it back. Probably.
You know what? You could have. I know you could have done this quickly if they said, "Hey, can you just burn a copy of what's on there for us real quick? You can keep your thing," and you would just probably say, "What format would you like it in?" Right?
You're right. Absolutely. I would have been happy to. The one of the guys did say, and we were talking about the drone. I showed him a video that I had previously recorded, and I actually sent it to somebody on my phone. So I had a copy of another video, and so he asked me, "Do you have a copy of any of the footage that was filmed over the fire?" And I said, "No, actually, I don't. It's not on my phone." He said, "Good, because I would have confiscated that phone too."
And the Supreme Court just ruled on this just a couple of weeks ago. That digital devices, if the authorities, and this is anywhere across the country, if authorities want to confiscate something like that, they need to go to a judge and get a piece of paper. They need a search warrant. Otherwise, it's illegal search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment. Yeah. That was the opinion.
And it always has been as far as footage that you take. If you're even on private property and you're asked to leave, you have to leave. But everything you shot up to that point, you're allowed to keep. So, they cannot take it.
So we wonder now, is this a gray area because it's a drone? The Supreme Court ruled on digital devices. Does the drone fall under that? And Jennifer, does the drone fall under the established understanding that you keep talking about here when it comes to gathering footage?
Look, news people are the same. We represent the public, so we are under the same guidelines as just your regular man on the street. So we can't have superpowers in collecting news. We can't use night vision video to try to shoot through people's
As
windows.
These drones become more and more popular, this is going to have to be hashed out. Because, again, right. I think maybe whatever what happened to you, Jeremy, needs to be looked at a little more closely. What do you think?
I definitely agree, and I think you're absolutely correct. As the price of these devices comes down and they become easier to use as they are, I think we're going to see a lot more people starting to use them. And, of course, situations like this are going to come up where people are going to be flying them into an area that may or may not be out of bounds. And, of course, there's all kinds of issues with FAA and the controlled airspace. These things can fly hundreds of feet in the air. I wasn't nearly that high, of course, when I was flying it, but you can get into controlled airspace and have federal violations with the FAA and so forth.
I was just reading actually that the FAA is coming up with rules and regulations for drones.
They're going to have to get a handle on this, because as these get more popular, I mean, it's realistic to believe that drones will be the most popular present during the holiday season. And so that means there will be thousands of drones in the air at any given moment. And they'll all be piloted by snotty-nosed 12-year-old kids.
It's so true.
I have to say that flying that thing and taking the footage. I went down to the beach and flew over a golf course and did some cool stuff. And I have to say that the video that it produced was absolutely stunning quality for the cost and for what this thing is, and just the experience of seeing what it is that you're filming as you're flying this thing in the first person view that you're seeing as it's transmitting the live video back to you. It's just absolutely stunning. It was the most fun I've had with a new toy in a long time.
Jeremy Antecuni, enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, right.
I have a feeling it's going to be against the law sooner than we know. But
good luck hiking up your pants and fighting the man on this one, man.
I'm going to find a constitutional attorney, and we're going to talk about this, I think, some more on a future show, if not tomorrow, then on Monday.
Frontier Foundation involved and get
good idea. Yeah. Good idea. All right, Jeremy. Good luck. I hope you get your memory card back, and happy droning.
Well, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Hey, do you like live-action surround sound reality-based fun? We have an outing that will be just as fun for your kids as it will be for you and Grandpa, and you'll find out what that is next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Here we go. If you ever miss a single show of As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends, we have a website, philhewlettandfriends.com, and every single show, including this one later today, is available for you to listen on demand. You could download, you can share, you can start, stop, whatever you like. Listen to your favorite bits over and over again. They're all there. On the front page of the website. Of course, we have our links page, our show fun page, and our store, which anything you could buy, let's say at Amazon, you could buy in our store. But when you buy from us, you help this program out, and we appreciate your patronage. Hey, this Saturday and Sunday in San Pedro, California, there's an event you need to know about, and it's pretty unique for Southern California. Guys, when I say battle reenactments, what do you think of? Civil War, right? Revolutionary War?
Godzilla.
The South, the Northeast. But you don't think of Southern California. But wait until you hear about this. Joining us live in the studio is Stephen Nelson. He's the director and curator of the Fort MacArthur Museum, and we're talking about Fort MacArthur days. Hey, Stephen. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. What exactly is Fort MacArthur, first of all, for people who don't know what that is? Just bring us up to speed. Just a quick thumbnail history on it.
Well, briefly, Fort MacArthur was established as a harbor defense position. Once our harbor was built, people realized, hey, you know, you've got your commerce and your real estate here. Probably better fortify and protect it.
Okay, very good. And named after a famous MacArthur, no doubt?
Yes, most people think it's Douglas MacArthur, but it's in fact his father, Arthur MacArthur, a Civil War hero.
How about that? And It was used for a bunch of movies. I think Tora was shot at Fort MacArthur, if I'm not mistaken, or parts of it. And there were some other movies that were shot down there. Are you familiar?
I think it was Midway.
Midway.
And then we had, recently we had the Michael Bay version of Pearl Harbor.
Oh, very good. But it's is it still active in any capacity?
The Middle Reservation is currently an Air Force base housing unit for Los Angeles Air Force Base. The Upper Reservation is sort of the historic site and a recreation.
And it stretches in San Pedro from the harbor side on Pacific, I think, and it goes all the way to the peninsula. Where weren't there? I don't know what you call them. They're built into the hillside, and the armed services were in there looking for the Japanese to attack from the Pacific Ocean, right?
Yeah, that's correct. What happened is the base was actually three reservations: a lower reservation, which is now the marina. You've got the Pacific Avenue place, which is the base housing, mm-hmm. and then the upper reservation where Angels Gate Park is and the Korean Bell. Those were gun batteries, and those were there to protect a seaborne or an airborne invasion of the Los Angeles Harbor.
Yeah, some of us went on field trips when we were kids up there, and we'd pick up the shells and that were on the floor inside those barracks, and it was a lot of fun. All right, so when I think of Fort MacArthur, I mean, definitely I think about World War II. So this Fort MacArthur days here, I read that it's all about battle reenactments. How do you reenact World War II battles without planes and bombs?
Well, it's funny you should say without planes and bombs. We do have the planes. We have a P-51 Mustang flying over.
Ooh.
And we have a T-6 Texan flying over. But generally what the event is the event is sort of a gathering of military historians that portray various periods in history. It's not just World War II. We have Romans. We have Vikings. We have cowboys and Indians. We
awesome.
Have World War II. We have Vietnam. We have just about any conflict you can think of.
Can you mix the Vikings and, say, the Vietnam era military and have them battle each other? Would that be fun?
You have a twisted mind, but I have to tell you, we have it. It's called the melee.
Yes.
And at the end, we basically will have, as a joke, everybody gets together and goes at it.
Well, see, that is entertaining. I mean, it's like that thing they used to have on MTV with the claymation, right? With the
celebrity death match.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you take two completely disparate individuals, and they battle to the death. But in this case, nobody dies, right?
Nobody dies, but, you know,
You play
gotta,
dead.
We got to make sure somebody breaks a limb or something like that. No, we try to be very safe.
All right, that's good. So when people come out to Fort MacArthur Days, and this is happening tomorrow, Not tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, July 12th and 13th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. They go to the Angel Gates Park, right, where you were describing, near the Korean Bell. This is in San Pedro, right on the shoreline at the tip of the peninsula. What do they expect to see when they show up?
Well, once you get there, enter in off Gaffey Street, and then parking is always a mess because we have several thousand people on the property. But once you get inside, you kind of lose yourself, and with each different encampment, you can experience maybe a glimpse of what a Roman camp might have been like in Spain when they were on conquest, or perhaps you'll find a World War II campsite from a long-range desert group or something along this. But, you know, it's not just about the entertainment thing. We also have this show will have three Tuskegee Airmen in person willing to talk to you directly.
Wow.
So it's not just me talking about it. It's not just a reenactor talking about it. You have living history literally in front of you, and you can maybe learn something that you...
You know, and you could bring your dad or your grandpa or whoever relative in the family who maybe, if they're still alive, World War II, or if they fought in Korea or in Vietnam, or Desert Storm for that matter, you know, some of the modern wars, Afghanistan, Iraq, and they might be able to be a narrator for you as they walk through the different camps, because it'll be things that they'll recognize. Is that right?
You're absolutely right. And we want to make it understood, too, that we do take it seriously. We don't want to play at war. But by the same time, you know, it is educational. If you look at the video games out there and what have you, I mean, it's part of our culture, and we're there to help educate, and we think we do a pretty good
job. How much of this is hands-on?
Almost every booth that you go to will allow you to perhaps handle something or at least get some kind of tangible experience.
So we can handle a weapon?
Well, you can.
This guy catches on quick.
Yeah, he sized you up in a hurry and nailed it.
Yeah, when the eyes gleam like that, there's a problem.
Yeah. I'm talking about, like, can you like feel the weight of like a Roman sword or something to that effect?
Yes, of course. That's and it's all done very carefully.
You can throw on some armor and some chainmail and swing around some
surprisingly,
mace.
Surprisingly, they will do demonstrations with you, and sometimes they get a little caught up in the act.
So. Oh, and so yeah, you get hit with that mace right in the chest plate, and it could be a lot of problems. All right. You have a website. We're going to put a link to it on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Again, it is the Fort MacArthur Museum putting on this Fort MacArthur Days Living History event at the Angels Gate Park in San Pedro, Saturday and Sunday, the 12th and 13th of July. Thank you very much for being here, Stephen Nelson, Director Curator of the Fort MacArthur Museum. Sir.
Hey, guys, thanks very much. We'll see you Saturday.
At ease.
Oh, I'm just going to go and handle some weapons.
Hey, we love your comments. Email us feedback at philhewlettandfriends.com. We're at As We See It Show on Twitter. Mike Stark is our executive producer. Thanks, Nick Wright, for helping out. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.